Hey everyone, this is Scott Ferrioli from DVC-Rental.com and BuyAndSellDVC.com. We just want to wish you and your family a happy Thanksgiving. As a reminder, we do have some last-minute deals on the deals section of our website, so just go to DVC-Rental.com, click on the deals section, and you can find many reservations between 40 and 70% off of Disney's prices.
Hello, welcome to the WDW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by a lot of women here today. I'm outnumbered greatly at this point, but I needed to get the best resource possible to tackle this topic. But anyways, my co-host, Stacey Nyman. Stacey, it's good to see you again.
Nice to be here.
Andrea Harrison, Amy Van Swole, and Tamara Spidell. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hello.
Quick, we just got past Halloween. So, what are you eating? What's in your snack goodie bag that you brought to work? What did you steal from the kids? I got to know.
I didn't steal anything.
Come on. Let's not pretend here. Let's
cut this. There's
nothing left, Chris. It's already gone. We've already eaten all of the leftovers, so there was nothing.
Gotcha. Well, what would be your candy of choice that you would have smuggled?
Mine is the Milky Ways. I really like those.
Nice. Amy, how about you?
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Okay. Could that be in any version? The bat, the green one?
Oh, yeah. The shapes are better. No, they have to be the chocolate covered pumpkins. Okay. Yeah.
Did you see the one that's colored green?
Yeah. No, thanks.
Andrea, what are you eating?
Dark chocolate Kit Kats. So I bought a bag and luckily did not have to give it out. So they're safe in my hands.
Nice. Was the intention to give it out?
I mean, only if I was desperate and had nothing left.
Turn the lights off at 6 o'clock.
I ran out of raisins and all of their snacks.
Nice. Stacey, what are you munching on?
You might be surprised that it's not Reese's Peanut Butter Cups because I think I've gotten sick of them, honestly. But I really like Heath bars now, even though that wasn't in my top five in Edcot. I found one on the floor of our house and I was like, oh, look, it's a Heath bar. And it was wrapped. So I ate it and forgot how good they were. So floor candy, AKA nice. Heath bars, because Britta probably threw it across the room when she saw it and didn't want it. So I'll take it.
So what is the acceptable age for trick-or-treating? What is too old? What is not?
I don't think there is a too old, honestly. Gotcha. Really don't. Yeah, I'm good with giving out candy to adults if they want some. So
we go over the same thing every year. So Jude helps me pass out candy. And I'm like, go get your costume on. Go on, go get your mask on. Go with your uncle and go trick-or-treating. He's like, Dad, every year you tell me the same thing. I'm getting too old for this. I said, are you kidding me? Once you're too old, that's it forever. I mean, enjoy it while you can get away with it. If they still think you're a kid, enjoy it. So he's like, all right. So he's still okay with it, which I'm lucky. He's a junior in high school. He still enjoys it. It's all good.
Since Caden has gotten into high school, he and the show choir kids go around and do reverse trick-or-treating, where they go around and ask for canned goods for the food pantry.
Oh, I love that.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Though I don't think they did it this year, but normally.
Before we get into the show today, I want to ask you guys, I want to tell you a quick story, if that's okay, about Halloween and trick-or-treating. So Beatrice is in religious education, okay? And so she brought home a bag of candy. And in the bag of candy, there's a prayer on the bag. And there's like a sign-up sheet. And I was like, what is this all about? And they said that she needs to say a prayer for everybody that she can remember that has passed away. And then she gets to eat a piece of candy. I said, so is that like the church's version of like pouring out a 40 ounce for like your, I mean, is that what it is? I mean, what is this? Is this a thing? So all of a sudden, she's like the eater of souls, but like with candy, she's remembering people and bobbing down chocolate.
Britta had a similar thing from church. She got a bag of M&Ms, and then for the M&M bag, every color was a different thing to pray for. So as she ate the bag of M&Ms, she was supposed to pray for each thing as she pulled the colors out of it. And then, so the bag of M&Ms is on the bed, just like completely crumbled up. It's like, oh, did you already do that? And she's like, oh, that's what that was for? And she's like, I think I have more M&Ms around here somewhere. So she probably didn't follow the assignment, but.
Well, I got the most praying 8-year-old girl in the history of Chicagoland right now. I just want you to know that. Everybody who's passed away this last year has had at least one prayer said for them. So anyways, moving on. We are talking about the Disney Genie and the Disney Genie Plus and the Lightning Lane. And I wanted to get a better understanding of what this is. And it's perfect. I've got Andrea Harrison, who just came back from 14 people, 16 people. How many were on that trip?
16 people.
16 people.
Yes.
Amy, who came back from an anniversary trip weekend. I don't know if I need to say with your husband, but I think that's probably
important
to say that. And Tamara Spidell, who came back from, I guess you'd say, a mid-semester break with your family as well, too, mm-hmm. correct?
Yep, fall break.
A split Universal / Disney trip. All right. So when did it go live? When did this Disney Genie go live and people started using it? It was just recently, wasn't it?
It was October 19th, our very first day in Disney World. So okay. I was very stressed out.
Okay. So if this is your first introduction into listening to the dubs, you know, we like to tackle a lot of shows with, we don't want to say sarcasm, but with humor and whatnot. So we're trying to explain this the best we can. Today, in preparation for this, I watched 28 minutes of the Disney food blog, which was a really well-constructed video. And after 10 minutes, I was literally like, heck with this. I'm done. I'm out. I need to have this explained to me, which I think maybe a lot of people might have that frustration at first. So Amy came to my rescue and said, hang on, let me send you a spreadsheet and let me send you like some cliff notes of how to like interpret this. But let's go around here, around this, what should we call this, a round table? Should we just rip it, steal it right from the resort loop that we're going to call this a round table discussion? Maybe we'll just steal it for today. Let's describe in your best couple sentences what you think Disney Genie is and like what the intent was on it. So, Stace, what do you think?
I'm looking at it as a version of MaxPass at Disneyland, which I really, really liked. And I've made a pros and cons list, and we'll see how that falls out as we listen to these experts here kind of break it down. But yeah, I'm kind of thinking of it as like a hybrid fast pass, max pass situation.
Okay. Stacey, I love you too. That's the way to do it. So you got the guest, they have the knowledge, and then mm-hmm. you kind of like push the responsibility onto them. So
yes.
if you give a goofy.
And whoa. Yes. Wow.
Yes. I'm so proud of you. Andrea, describe Disney Genie and Disney Genie Plus.
I'm thinking of Genie as a, well, first of all, when you go in the app, it replace the spot where your My Plans were or My Day. It's in the same spot as that. So it's essentially an itinerary or a guide for the guest. And I liked it, and I know we'll talk more about it. But I also have a pros and cons list, so I know we'll talk more about that. But I think that's the intention, is to guide the guests to have the best day possible. And as far as the Lightning Lanes part of it, I think the goal is to have a newer version of FastPass that is used more sparingly, I think. I think it's going to be, there's going to be less people in those lines the way that they structured it. So I think there's pros and cons to that as well. So, so I think we'll talk more in detail, but, it's interesting. Sure.
Okay. Amy, describe it to us.
Well, it's like it's like virtual fast passes, like what we used to do, but on a day by day basis, instead of, you know, 60 days in advance, you get the opportunity to choose that day what you want to do.
Okay.
The frustrating, I'm not really frustrating, but interesting clash comes with the DAS. And that is something we found.
Okay. Interesting. Tamara, describe what do you think it is?
I'm not as organized as the rest of you. I do not have a pros and cons list. But what I will say is I think, okay, can I preface this? Like, usually I'm really positive. I feel like I'm...
Hammer us, because that's why I wanted you on today, because I saw your post. And usually usually you can find a lot of good things. And I know this is a disappointment. You know?
Oh, yes. I was really heartbroken by my experience. I've been giving up on it, and we'll try it again. But so to me, Genie... like Andrea said, it replaced a portion in my Disney experience that used to be like my plans. To me now, I feel like they've sort of tried and failed miserably to rip off touring plans. Genie Plus is, I never did Max Pass. I haven't been to Disneyland in a really long time, but you know, it's your Fast Pass, but I find it, like, I appreciate, I don't have to book them 60 days in advance, mm-hmm. because then you can kind of do what you want and what you feel like doing that day. But I really didn't appreciate the lack. It was very tricky to figure out when I could book what. Like, you can't book three at a time like you could before. And I wish you could do that. If mm-hmm. you could do that, I would feel a little bit better about it. And if there was a little more flexibility, I struggled to figure out how to find other times. Like when because we did pay for, I only did it one day, the Genie Plus. And I would, okay, I want to do Tower of Terror. Well, it gave me a time I didn't really like, and it didn't really give me other options of other times. And I didn't like that. And then individual lightning lanes, we did do that for Rise of the Resistance because we really wanted to make sure we got to ride that. And I don't know. I just, it feels like a money grab. And I feel like it's a little classist. And I am sad for people who don't do their research and don't know what they're getting into. And then they show up and, you know, they've already spent all this money and they show up for this amazing vacation. And then they're like, wait, what's this other thing? And I have to pay extra money. And because it's Christmas, I have to pay a lot more than if I came during some random day in, you know, October. So I don't know.
Okay. I love the range of, you know, the scope right here. So just back to the description. Part itinerary builder, fast pass replacement, pay-per-view ride system is what we've got right now. And the free version is the Disney Genie. And when you pull up your My Disney Experience app right there, and actually it looks kind of slick. Here's some options. You've got a virtual assistant. You can ask questions. And here's some updated times if you want to have your wait times, which you refer to as touring plans, but a lesser version of touring plans, the Disney version of touring plans. So they have a free version of this, and please just yell at me for sure if I'm making any mistakes here. So they have a free version. Now, if you wanted the upgraded version, you can pay to have the Disney Genie Plus, and that is per person per day. And here are things that I learned about this. So if you pay prior to your trip, correct me if I'm wrong, ladies, is it for the entire length of your trip or as many days you have in your tickets? Is that correct? You have to do that?
Yes.
Or you can buy an individual day, but on the day of.
Correct.
That's also correct. Okay.
Correct.
So, and I want to get back to your money grab in a second, Tamara, because we try to always have like a positive spin for these things. As I was navigating it, we've got 5 park veterans, and I'm going to say this right now, I'm the least veteran of anyone on this screen right now in terms of being at a park, but I'm comfortable navigating the My Disney Experience and my ways around a Disney park. literally, I was confused. And so I sent a message out to these girls. I was like, this does not make my park experience better. This made me frustrated and confused. I almost yearned, like I was joking with Stacy, we have a Six Flags by our house. And it's got something called Flash Pass. And you go to this Flash Pass kiosk, and they hand you this little, like, fob, right? You put it on your belt, and it's like $40, whatever it is. It's really expensive. But the idea is, you don't need to make plans. You just go right here to the exit and say, hey, I got Flash Pass. Kind of like Wayne's World. It's like, you know, and they just like escort you right up to the front. Like that I can understand if you want to pay for that simplicity. But like when it's like embedded of, okay, here's a free thing. It's really cool, but you can upgrade a little bit. Now I like the Max Pass at Disneyland. I did. I enjoyed it. That helped my experience in Disneyland a lot. But this just seemed like you get these attractions for a little bit, but you get these attractions, but you can only pick two of them if you pay a heck of a lot more on top of your $139 ticket times six diamonds, you know, times 18 meals. That's $1,000 day for a lot of families if you're that size family. That's a lot. That's a spicy meatball, you know, because they want a little more. So, yeah, I agree with you guys. But how accurate were those wait times? You said, I mean, Amy, Andrea, you guys were there recently. How accurate were those free Disney Genie wait times and the free version?
I found most of them to be inflated.
Okay.
To be honest with you, most of them were about 20 minutes less than what they stated.
Okay. Interesting.
Yep, I agree. I had the same situation on our trip too.
Hmm. Andrea, what was your experience with it?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the wait times were off, but I guess I'm always skeptical of them. So I don't know if that was like too different than usual, because you know how they always get off, like they get thrown off by firework times. They get thrown off by like crowds moving this way and that way, but they did seem pretty off. So it's hard to know, you know, I don't know for sure if it was more off than usual.
Okay. So did I describe that right? Disney Genie Plus, you pay $15 per person per day, and then you're allotted, it looks like 46 rides, but a number of rides at each park, but not like the premium rides, like the two or three premium rides. Is that correct?
Yep.
And then do you just pluck them off one at a time, or are you allowed to pick? So just pretend like I didn't know anything. How does this work? So anyway, Tamara, how does this work?
Well, I only used it one day, and we used it in Hollywood Studios. And here's what I would tell you. I probably wouldn't buy Genie Plus unless I was at Magic Kingdom, because Magic Kingdom has so many more rides and experiences that you have. Like Hollywood Studios has a handful, and you can only book. So like before, you can only book a fast pass, whatever, Lightning Lane. One time, like if you could do Tower of Terror one time, then you can't do another Lightning Lane. You could do, well, I don't think Slinky Dog, no. You could do Midway Mania one time. You can't have multiple Lightning Lanes for the same ride. So to me, that is silly, and I don't like that.
Okay.
But I think it's kind of nice if you're park hopping, though, because then at least you can do more. Yeah, I found that we did it at Epcot, and we kind of like you run out pretty quickly at Epcot because you're like, well, I can do the Lightning Lane for Figment, but the wait is 5 minutes. So right. I mean, it was nice to have Genie Plus for Soarin' and for Test Track. So we were happy to have had it for that. But then it would have, if we were park hopping, we would have gotten even more for our money at that point. But we didn't mind paying the $15 just to skip the lines at Soarin' and Fast Track or Test Track, because we wanted to spend a lot more time at Food and Wine, and we don't get there a lot. So it kind of worked out for us that day. But you know, it may depend on, you know, if you had another day to spend more time there, maybe you wouldn't be waiting. But
okay. Amy, can you load up more than one at a time, or is it just one-offs at a time?
One at a time.
Hmm.
Unless there was something, though, if you're fast, if you're Lightning Lane.
Yeah, there was the stacking.
It was like 2 hours from, if it was more than 120 minutes from right now, you could book another one, but
But initially, it's just one at a time. Yeah.
Okay. And then the lightning ling that you're talking about, am I saying this correct? I mean, like Stacy and I were talking earlier about, like, it's just the premier attraction. So, for example, it's Seven Dwarves Mine Train and Space Mountain over at Magic Kingdom. Is that correct?
The individual lightning lane, right?
The individual lightning lane.
The individual cost attraction ones. Yes. Correct. Mm-hmm. So, and as of today, I know, well, I think Space Mountain was $7, I think. But when I looked this morning at about 11 o'clock this morning, it was a 20-minute standby. So we should probably say this. Everything here, you can completely pass it. You can put your phone away and just say, screw it. I'm not doing any of this on my phone. I'm saving my battery to listen to Pandora on the way home. And you could, like, completely just do standby everything in the park all day long and ignore this. Correct?
Yep.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely. I wonder if it's going to help the standby lines, too, because if – you think about when FastPass was on, they dedicated so much time to getting FastPass people through those attractions that if you were standby, it was an enormous wait because you'd get through all the FastPass people. But now there's probably, I would assume there's less people going for these individual FastPass or individual lightning lane options. So hopefully that would make the FastPass, oh my gosh, the standby shorter.
That's what we found. Yeah. And, you know, it's been in effect now for a couple of weeks and we found the standby was going very fast. I would think that it would be a very handy thing to have, though, Genie Plus, between Christmas and New Year's and over spring break when the crowds are higher. But since we were going during a time where, you know, school's in session and stuff, the crowds were relatively low.
Yeah, I don't know if I question the $15 per person. Actually, to me, I don't think I have a problem with that. Okay, that's going to be money I would spend on Max Pass in Disney's. It was the individual attractions that I think put a bee in my bonnet and really irked me, was the fact that I know it costs a lot today, and I know you're going to upgrade a little bit, but you don't quite get everything. You can upgrade a little more for this. And it just felt like I was nickel and dimed for already what is a premier experience and one of the most costly, like, things you can do with your family for a day. It left me feeling that way. Did you guys do any lightning lanes besides? I mean, Tamara, you said you did for
we
Rise,
did
correct?
For Rise, and we also did for Flight of Passage.
Okay.
I think, yeah, we did it for Rise twice and Flight of Passage once.
How did that affect the wait time? Like, how long did you wait for those attractions with the lightning lane?
Not very long at all. It was great. I mean, practically I walk on, but those are really long queues and it's really hard to judge with Rise of the Resistance too. But what I will say is with Rise of the Resistance, there were some interesting issues because, like, they closed off the standby lane at one point because I think the ride went down. And so then there were a ton of people in the lightning lane. So the first time we did Rise of the Resistance with the individual lightning lane, it was like the line went out into Galaxy's Edge, like almost to the market. It was really long. But it moved relatively quickly because they shut down the standby lane and everybody had to, there was nobody in line, at least that I could see. The second time we did it, it was super fast. We just walked right into the thing with Rey and BB-8.
Hmm. Andrea, did you use Lightning Lane at all?
We did the individual ones. Yeah, we did for a couple of rides. We did Flight of Passage, and it was one where it ended up being the wait time wasn't too bad, so it was kind of funny. Like, the one time it felt like the wait was 45 minutes, so we probably could have waited for it, but... but I was happy to just walk on it. And we were happy to all get on that ride because that was my first time going on Flight of Passage. So I really enjoyed that. And one of the really nice times of using the individual lightning lane was on our last day there. My daughter really wanted to do Frozen Ever After, and my son really wanted to do Ratatouille. And that's probably the only way we would have gotten on those rides because I didn't want to wait an hour for Frozen on like a Saturday night at Epcot. And then they wouldn't have gotten on Ratatouille because we were park hopping. So if you're park hopping, that's your only chance now to get on Ratatouille is to do the lightning lane. And that's another interesting thing about the individual lightning lanes is that you can do a top tier ride at two different parks, which you could never do before with FastPass. So I could do Mine Train at Magic Kingdom in the morning, and I could do Rise of the Resistance later on at Hollywood Studios. And if you had one day at, you know, Disney World, that really changes your ability to spend a really magical, you know, day there. So I think it's pretty cool.
Can I ask a question about that, Andrea? Because I was afraid to try that. So if you started your day in Magic Kingdom and you did an individual lightning lane for Seven Dwarfs, could you book an individual lightning lane for Ratatouille before 2 o'clock? Or
you could do it first thing in the morning. Yeah, we did it.
You didn't have to have a reservation there?
Nope. Yeah.
Wow. That's good to know.
That was really cool. And I thought that kind of, it made it kind of a better experience for people. And I like anything that gives people who can rarely spend time at Walt Disney World kind of like a leg up. I like any better, you know, offer like that, because there are a lot of people who get chances to go more often and maybe get on those rides or have a little more time to go on those rides. And if there's a family that goes like once ever, and if, you know, they save up their money and they could just spend a little more to like actually get on the ride. And I don't know, it gives them an opportunity that they might not have had otherwise. So it's pretty cool.
It comes down to value of time. Like Tim and I were there for 2.5 days. So there were certain things we wanted to do, Remy being one of them. And so we paid Lightning Lane because we didn't want to risk not getting the virtual queue or waiting for an hour on, you know, our short amount of time that we're there in the virtual queue. So it really is a plus there that you can guarantee you'll get on the ride and you'll go in a shorter line and your time's more valuable there.
I feel sorry for like the first timer going to Walt Disney World right now. If you're trying to plan this trip on your own or like not through a travel agent, because it's like, no, wait, I want to see a mouse and I want to go on rides. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, no. Let me educate you on this process here you need to undertake. And you're like, what the heck? Like, I'm going to SeaWorld. You know, that's fun over there. So I feel sorry. You need to almost be like a veteran or need to put yourself in like the hands of someone that knows what they're doing with this for sure.
Best plug for a travel agent. Yes. Eventful. Give her a call.
Yeah.
It is true, right?
Yeah. I've had three people in the past week reach out to me and say, hey, you know, Disney, we're going this time. Give me some tips. And thankfully I've learned to save them all. And now I just copy and paste. But I had to add the whole Genie Plus in there and say, I have no idea what this is about. This is the main reason you need to book through a travel agent, because they can navigate you through all of this. I agree with you, Chris. I feel really bad for any first timers, especially the people who are going for their magical times over the holidays. Yeah. Like, it's just...
Well, the MaxPass system, the Genie Plus, it seems pretty straightforward. You pay a little extra and just start plucking off one at a time. And that's how it was in California. And it really made my trip enjoyable, because you guys know, I don't want to plan my things out 60 days. I want to plan my things out about 60 minutes. You know, I don't want to have to be dictated. And so here we go. We're in the park. It's like, hey, Chris, like, welcome to the park. Pick your first attraction. Be like, awesome. You know, and it was like really cool to navigate the park. So I'm in for that. But here's my question for you guys. Did you guys have an experience where like all of a sudden it was like, we're not available. Like, this attraction is not available right now. And it's like, wait a minute, hang on. The whole point of having this is to be able to pluck these attractions. And like, if you're doing it at the studios and it's like, this is not available right now. It's like, you know, refresh. What's going on here? Is this just quirky in the system, or is it designed like that, or do things sell out?
I think things sell out. The individual lightning lanes for sure do, but for us, it wasn't necessarily like if you have to leave because this is your last day at Disney World, and you know you got to go catch the Magical Express, which for a little while longer. and you need to leave the park at a certain time and you really want to do Tower of Terror, but it's telling you, oh, well, you can do a lightning lane at 3 o'clock, but I have to leave at 2, then you kind of miss out. So that kind of stinks too. Like you need to really be, I don't think I would purchase it for a partial day.
Good point. Good point. Especially because they assign you to times that you couldn't use.
Yeah,
exactly.
So you said that the individual lightning lane sells out. Mm-hmm. Do you have to book that for a certain time, or do you just book that attraction and then you just go whenever you want? Nope. No. Okay.
It's a certain time. And so if you're staying on property, you have access to that at 7 a.m. Whereas anybody off property, they can access it at park opening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I will say, so my family, we did Universal first and we stayed at Portofino Bay. So we had the Unlimited Express Pass, which was amazing. And then we go to Disney and that is like you pay, and it can be stupid expensive, but like that's why you stay at the other hotel, because then you can kind of make it work out financially. But you literally, like, you don't plan anything. You don't need an app for anything. You just show up and you go down the line. And so my family got real spoiled with that. And then they're like, oh, so is this what, like, this is what, and they've been to Disney with that, like the old Fast Pass system. So they're like, so is this what this like Genie Plus is going to be like? And I was like, no, it's not. I'm so sorry. So they were like, this is junk. We want to go back to Universal and do their Express Pass.
So, yeah, that's a really tough comparison, especially mm-hmm. considering that you needed to, you know, do a little bit of hoop jumping at this point, especially after you had carte blanche. So interesting there. How do you buy it? You, like I said, you buy it in advance. And Amy, was it for length of stay or length of ticket? Or how is that determined if you buy it in advance?
If you buy it in advance, it's for length of ticket.
Okay. So I got a question now. So in my back pocket, I've got 10-day, no expiration park hoppers that I've never activated in the system, just waiting to go. I made like an investment like 5 years ago. I was like, let me get on one of these park increase price things. And so if I wanted to buy this and buy this prior to a trip, am I going to have to pay for 10 straight days in advance, or I got to pluck them off individually on that day if I wanted to? Is that correct?
You can pluck them off individually on that day if you wanted to.
So I wouldn't be buying it in advance then, correct? Mm. Okay. How does it work with annual passes?
You have to buy them when you're there.
Okay.
So you can't buy them in advance.
Okay. Gotcha. Andrea, how long was yours? How long was your ticket? Or do you have
passes? We had 6 park days, but didn't start till our third day in the parks, the Genie Plus. And so we didn't have the option, you know, we just could buy it on the third day, basically. Mm. So I didn't know what it looked like going in. I did watch the video a little bit that Disney put out, but it was kind of a mystery until that morning. And then I was like messaging my family at 7 a.m. update your apps, you know? But I was refreshed to see that I could manage everything for my family and they never had to do anything. Mm-hmm. I asked them if they were interested in doing it for that day and paying the $15. And the ones who were told me, go ahead and do it. And then they would Venmo me money. Like, actually, they did it after the trip. I just said, like, how much it was. And then, and so I just managed it. I set up the rides for them. So basically, just if you're with a group, just like with the old Fast Pass, you want to make sure you're connected as family and friends on the app, which is always helpful before a trip anyways, with the My Disney experience. Just make sure you're connected with them before the trip, and then you're good to go with that. One of the issues I ran into, it wasn't an issue, but it was just it's a complaint I have, is that I guess it's for security purposes, and it's good that they did this, but there was like a lot of verification of, is this really you? And it emails you to verify. And when you're trying to do it really fast, I can check my email really fast and it was no problem for me, but I can just see some people having trouble switching between apps. Like you're in the My Disney app and now you're in your email. And I felt like I was doing a lot of bouncing. I had to log in again. If you don't remember your Disney login, you're in trouble. And So basically, when you go to pay for these Genie Plus or Lightning services, they will have you log in again, and they will likely have you check your email for a verification code. So that's the summary of something to look, you know, to expect.
Yeah. So I have a question for you guys who did it while you were down there. I had a client ask me this question, and I could not find the answer. So I have two families going down together, but some of the people are going to want the Genie Plus and some of the people aren't in the same room. They have to be able to buy it all in the same room though, right? You can't differentiate.
You select the individual people. So you select the person. Yep. So it doesn't matter. You just select it by person. So they can divide it up.
My husband is not a fan of rides. So when we did the Genie Plus, I just bought it for myself and for my daughter. And we did the individual lightning lanes for all three of us because I knew he was going to want to ride the Star Wars ride. Here's the other thing that I just didn't think about this, but the other thing that was a surprise and they charge sales tax on the Genie Plus $15 and your individual lightning lane. And that, I mean, yeah, of course they do, but I just didn't think about it. So then and I was like, wait, what? You're charging me tax too? Come on.
Yeah. And when I, luckily it does email you a receipt. So when my family asked me what they owed me, I looked back at the end of the trip and that was no trouble, for me to like go back and add it up. But that was, not expected at first. I agree.
God love you for being honest. I'd be like, yeah, $40 a day. And you did 5 days. It's the cheapest trip ever for the Harrisons.
You're the worst, Chris.
Okay, so let's go to the pros and cons. Because, you know, we've talked about it. And, you know, it essentially replaces FastPass. So you kind of can identify what it is with some bells and whistles on there. But like, what'd you really find out that you really liked, and what'd you find out that you said this is the worst? So, Andrea, what did you really like, and what didn't you?
So I mentioned, I really liked the interface of the free stuff. I did like the look of it. There, as you look through it, it will ask you some questions of what you're interested in doing that day, and it will give you suggestions. I would say, you don't want to follow it exactly. You know, you definitely want to make your own plan. But I think it's nice to see some suggestions of what to do, especially if you don't know what you're doing when you're at Disney. Mm-hmm. And also the suggestions, it'll say maybe go at noon to this restaurant, and you can tap it and you can swap it out for a different restaurant or swap out a ride for a different ride. So you're not just exactly seeing what they recommend. You can customize what they recommend. So that's also nice. And they also give you some transparency where they say they recommend this because it's kid friendly or because it's low wait times at this time. And I think because it's new, I think they did a nice job for it starting out because they've got a whole data set behind this where they're making recommendations based on some initial questions you asked or filled out and based on the data they have on their attractions and dining options. They paired these things up and it looks nice. I was pretty impressed with it, honestly. I mean, I think anyone would find it pretty easy to use. And then as far as the paid stuff goes, I like that. What Stacey was mentioning, I think a lot less people are going to be using this service, which I think is going to help the standby lines. And I think that was always one of the biggest complaints about FastPass was that it hurt the standby lines. So hopefully it'll be more balanced in that way. But one of the cons is that just like what Tamara was saying about her experience with Hollywood Studios and like the limitations of how she could use it, when you go to use your Genie Plus, your $15 a day, you get one time option for each ride. And that one time option probably isn't the exact time you had in mind to use it. And it might be far from the time you had in mind to use it. And so that is going to be a huge adjustment for people who are used to old Fast Pass, where you get like a bunch of times to choose from, I think, or I honestly, it's been so long, I forget what Fast Pass looked like, but I know that it was a lot more flexible, and I think they're like trying to keep their app from crashing, so they're just keeping the options really limited. Mm-hmm. I feel like the app's fairly stable, at least compared to the old days, so I think they're just trying to keep things simple, but simple is not that great when you're trying to like pick a certain time. I wish you could have some more options. So maybe we'll get that in the future. I hope. I guess I'm hopeful in that sense. Mm-hmm. Because again, like you might want to go on Slinky Dog in the morning and it might say, oh, you can go on at 2 p.m. Well, you know, maybe I want to park hop at 2 p.m. So that's not great. You know, I mentioned earlier, I like the fact that it gives people a leg up if they're only at the parks for 2 days, or if they rarely get to Walt Disney World, they can actually get on the rides that they really want to go on by paying more money. And so if they don't have a lot of time there, that money might not actually be a lot to them because they're not paying the extra days to go to Disney World. They just have a short amount of time there. Mm-hmm. I think also people are used to paying for Fast Pass, like Six Flags and Universal. So the paid aspect, I guess that doesn't bother me too much, as long as hopefully this lightning stuff, maybe it'll continue to improve for us. And so in that sense, I think it being paid, it doesn't bother me. Also, additional revenue streams that maybe hopefully in the long run help cast member wages. I'm hopeful of that. I think we are all always, Chris is giving me a look. I gotta say, I'm always hopeful. We all always want cast members to be paid more. And we also,
for sure.
I know none of us want to pay more for anything, but we want revenue streams for those cast members who are working the attractions. So, I mean, maybe.
I just think that part of this, that you know, I don't mind the extra kicker. I don't like the extra kicker on top of what is the most expensive ticket there is in the country right now. You know, that makes me feel like I'm not too crazy about this at all. Yeah. You know, so
it's tough, but I guess, like I said, like the fact that I could get on Remy and Rise, like two of the hottest rides,
that's true,
in the same day. I mean, that's a rare thing and that you couldn't do before. I don't know. It's hard to.
Tamara used a word though earlier in the day, and I wrote it down, and it kind of, I can't describe it as eloquently as she did, but she said a word, it felt a little classist, and it is true for sure that, how do you say it? So if you got the money and you're willing to go down there and money means nothing to you, it doesn't matter. And I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to spend it. And like, that is like inherently now, I don't know if you remember, we asked a question like a couple years ago, how much would you be willing to spend for the unlimited Magic Kingdom ticket to like Thanos snap half the people out of existence?
I do remember that.
It kind of did it, except they're not really out of existence. You just passed them up in line, you know? So we were like, I don't know, $500, $300. So I guess we can't have our cake and eat it too. But like, it does kind of feel like that with this. Mm-hmm. So as it is, like, we'll just say it. If you're going to Walt Disney World, you already are like in like the top like X percentage of the country just being able to enjoy that vacation, you know? So I could just see the Disney executives, we can get a little more out of them, you know, as they sit in their golden thrones, you know? So anyways, Amy, give me some goods and bads here.
Like Andrea said, the app itself looked pretty classy. I mean, when you're working it for Disney IT, which is normally extremely frustrating.
I'm messing with it right now as you guys are talking. Yeah. It does look good.
It does. It sounds scary until you jump in and you start using it and you're like, oh, it's step by step. This is easy. Okay, I can do this. What we found, because we've got a DAS person in our family, what we found was that when you're using the DAS and the Lightning Lane, sometimes the times don't sync up and it causes a conflict. We ran into that a few times where like, well, I want to be able to use the DAS, but I'm going to have to use a Lightning Lane because the time just wasn't meshing. Mm. So we did end up using Genie Plus one day. And that was at Magic Kingdom because it's got the most rides and the most experiences. But one of the pros back to about the Genie Plus, purchasing it, they have more things on there than just ride selection. When you purchase it, you can also get like photo filters. And Tim was having a blast turning himself into Maleficent.
I saw a castle. He had about 18 different versions of the castle.
Okay. And, you know, you do like different selfies with that kind of thing. And it was just fun. Okay. And it had like different things you could do that you could only get if you purchased Genie Plus. So, you know, it's a little extra. Yeah. But it was a little fun that you wouldn't normally do. So that was kind of fun. But I will say, if you've got a DAS, and it's, you know, one of the parks that only have a handful, you really don't need the Genie Plus, in our experience, unless you're going during one of those super busy times. Yeah, so that was our experience anyway.
Tamara, give me something good and bad.
Well, I feel like I could echo a lot of what these other ladies have already said, so I'm trying not to be redundant. I will say that it left a very sour taste in my mouth, but I'm excited to see how it evolves over time, because I do think that the IT, whether it's, I don't know if it's like AI and it's going to like learn, but I feel like whether the, you know, technology itself learns or the IT department learns, I'm cautiously optimistic that they're going to make it better. It does look beautiful and it was very user-friendly. The only thing was I didn't realize that you like had to, I expected it to just be in my Disney experience and there would be a thing that I clicked on, but you had to, like, I had to go in to the app store and update. Like, I don't know why it didn't just automatically update like the rest of my apps do. So that was a little tricky that I didn't know. Like, it's just a lot of learning. And you know, my parents are moving down to Orlando next week and I'm a little emotional about that. So I kind of don't want to talk about it. But I'm looking forward to that because what I'd like to do is I want to go and just do the free version and do like what the app tells me to do and just see like really what happens. Because to me, I was like, I don't want to go on the carousel and I didn't pick the carousel. And why are you telling me that? So I just stopped. I stopped using it and I use the, cause I have a paid subscription to Touring Plans. So I used their app and I was like, I feel like I could use that without doing the Genie Plus. Anyway, sorry. I did like that I could be bougie and I could buy an individual lightning lane to make sure that I got on Rise. I wish that I knew that I could have purchased Ratatouille in the morning, even though I didn't have a park reservation, because I didn't realize that that was the case. So we never got to do Ratatouille, and I was a little sad about that. It was disappointing. And my husband was like, I've never seen you so stressed out in Disney World before. Like that first day, I was just like, I was a wreck because I was trying to figure it out. You know, and we were there with more people than usual and they were like, well, you're the Disney expert. You should. And I'm like, I don't know. This is new. Leave me alone. And I felt like a failure.
Sorry. And I will say the travel agents, we did not get a whole lot of prep when it came to this too. A lot of the questions did not come until after like that first day when all the glitches happened. And then it was like, oh, well, yeah, you can do this. So, you know, a lot of us didn't, we took training, but it didn't cover the nitty gritty of it. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
I kind of took it on like a challenge and I was kind of funny because like in my room, I got up early that morning. We were at Disney with we have 16 of us all in hotel rooms at Coronado. And I got up like early and I was like Rocky in the room updating my app. I'm like, go, like pushing the buttons. I'm getting this set up. I'm paying for things. I gotta go to my email. I gotta go to things, whatever. I'm figuring it out, but it was a challenge, but like it was smoother than I expected. And the buttons were fairly intuitive. So I would say don't stress about it if you're going to Disney World. I had no prep before I went into it, and I didn't really know what to expect. And I was able to just like follow what the app was telling me to do. So I think anyone would be fine without prepping for it. But I think these tips that we're giving here are also going to be helpful because there are probably some tips that you wouldn't have known otherwise. Cause some of this, there's so many little details to it. Mm-hmm. Like it's easy to use, but then there's a lot of ifs.
Stacey, what's on your list of pros and cons that you researched?
We covered a lot of the pros. I think my one con is just more of a fear that if a lot of people start doing the Genie Plus just for the $15 a day or whatever, that they're going to raise those prices as, you know, quickly. Cause I mean, you think about Universal and Six Flags and stuff, it's more expensive than $15 a day. And if a lot of people are doing it, it's going to cause the same problems as FastPass did. So they're going to raise that price to try to weed those people out. So mm-hmm. It's just more, I don't want to get used to it and be all excited for it and then have it be $20 the next time. And now it's $25. And, you know, mm-hmm. That's really my only con at this point, having not actually used it. So,
and in theory, if more people use this and are going through, there's a Disney. So describe this standby line, Disney Genie Plus line, and then Lightning Lane line. Is that how it works? Or is it just, I mean, describe the entrance.
No, because so there's the standby line and then there's the Lightning Lane.
Okay.
We just took down the FastPass sign and put up Lightning Lane.
So if you're a Disney Genie Plus at $15, you just go into the Lightning Lane and mm-hmm. they check your Magic Band or whatever, you know. Okay, gotcha.
They should have given it one name. Like, seriously. Why does it need two names?
It is so confusing. Yeah. These names that's a con right there.
I'm confused by just the Lightning Lane and then the individual Lightning. Like, I was so confused at the beginning of this conversation about those two things to begin with.
Yeah.
One last question for me though, was the Genie Plus Lightning Lane, how fast was that getting through the queues? Not the individual ones, but just the ones that you paid for the $15. Was that equivalent to a fast pass or was it faster?
It was about the same as a fast pass. And that's another thing I wanted to add. It made it very interesting with the DAS. This summer, when using the DAS, because they didn't have Genie Plus and they didn't have that, the people who really struggled standing in line were able to get through, and it was a huge thing. Now that they've got the Genie Plus and they put you in the same lane as them, you're still standing there for 15, 20 minutes. And
how it worked before they took FastPass away, how did DAS work?
It was the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So in theory, if more people buy the $15, I'm seeing a lot of people in the Lightning Lane / FastPass line and more people there than there are. Is it possible there's less in standby at that point? Cause everyone is part of the,
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
They're people probably going to do the same thing as they did before. Well, then just get through all of the Lightning Lanes and make the standby stand for a really long time then.
Gotcha. The steerage class, right? All right. Very good.
It's very Titanic of you.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So what's the point of it? Why was it created?
I think they thought it was going to help people have a more efficient time in the parks. Like, I think at some level, Disney understands, like, this is a complex vacation and you can't just wing it unless you're Chris Malik. But putting the money piece aside, I do think there might have been some good intentions about, like, wanting to be helpful. And I think there's another.
You make a little money, right?
Exactly.
Because, I mean, how is it an improvement over the Magic Band and the 60-day reservation?
Yeah.
How is there an improvement there? I know that was actually probably a nightmare. They were like, wait a minute, we have to give these bands out to people and mail these bands to people. These are expensive. What are we doing here? You know, we need to rethink this whole thing at this point.
Exactly. I think that that's what, I think that the fast pass lines were just so enormously long, and people were just, I think they were getting a lot of feedback complaining that standby, if they don't have fast passes, especially for new people coming in, don't know the whole system. And I think that the pandemic was a perfect time for them to say, let's figure this whole thing out. All these other parks are charging money for this, and it's working out for them. Let's see what we can do here. So I agree with Tamara. There was a little bit of both, you know, good intention and a good opportunity to get money and a good opportunity to have a clean break in the old versus the new.
Nice. Nice. Okay. Describe it in three words. Let's end on that. Describe Disney Genie Plus and like as a whole, the free, the paid, and the Lightning Lane version. Describe it in three words, if we can. As everyone's thinking right now, like, oh, this better be good. I better come up with something good here. Stacey, three words.
I have hope.
Nice. Andrea.
Opportunities, money, potential.
Amy.
Good time saver.
Tamara.
Three words. That's so hard.
That's so hard.
You know what? I think we could use that, but I was going to say, okay, heartbroken is one word, right?
One word.
Go for it.
Heartbroken, cautiously optimistic.
Good. Good. Nice. Nice. So I guess it's not something that we have to be afraid of. You just definitely have to be invested in it. You know, you have to, you just can't wing it. And when I watched this and I was like watching the video, I thought to myself, you know, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of missing some of the fun of just being in the queue. And like, how many days would you spend, not necessarily open to close, but you could do everything. So again, this is optional. It's not required. You could do standby and still see most everything that you want. But like Andrea said, in terms of timing, if you've only got a half a day, or if you've only got like one day to spend in Hollywood Studios, like Brett, and he was going to go and see Rise of the Resistance. Okay. I get it. Let's just lay down the money and be done with it, because Brett may not come back for 5 or 6 years, you know?
And... Oh, he 100% will not. Yes, that is correct. <He's> not to Disney not, World.
Right? He's resigned and not coming back. So I see that there as well, too. So anyways, if anyone has questions, which they may have questions on this one, best ways to contact us, Edcot, or your own personal things, Tamara, Amy, Andrea, Stacey, how do people reach you?
I spend most of my time on Facebook and Edcot if I'm on Facebook.
Gotcha.
So that would be the place. And can I just say really quickly, Andrea, you're my hero. I love how you like went into this whole thing with like such a positive attitude. And you're like, I see this. That, like, I just wish I could have been more like you.
With 16 people, like, all the pressure being like on her. Like, oh my gosh.
Like at the most, I think we had 8 in our party, and I was like, I can't handle this. So I am so impressed. So good on you.
We saved 1 to 2 hours each time we used it. You know, that meant a lot to us. So I appreciated being able to save some time in our, and we hadn't been to Disney World in 4 years. So that was, it was a very special trip for us. And my kids felt very special going through the Lightning Lanes, and my whole family did actually. And we didn't do it every day that we were there. So also kind of doing it as needed felt like money well spent.
Andrea, don't spill the beans, because there's going to be an Andrea Harrison trip report coming up soon that we'll talk all about this. So for sure. So Andrea, best way, your personal Facebook.
Andrea Harrison and the Edcot group as well on Facebook.
Okay. Amy, how could people find you?
You will find me on Edcot, but also Amy Vanswell with Magical Journeys is my travel agent page if you want to talk more about it. So.
And I highly recommend her as a travel agent. She's amazing.
Thank you.
Stacey, where can they find us?
I prefer paper mail through the U.S. Postal Service.
Nice. Nice. With a forever stamp.
If they don't want to do that, then they can come to Epcot and find us there. They can find us on the WW Review on Facebook. They can find us on Instagram. And I never remember what our Instagram is, but if you just search WW Review, you'll find us there.
I think you throw the word podcast after WW Review, and that's how you find us.
That's probably it. But you'll just find us if you just search WW Review also. It works.
We'll edit. Don't worry. We'll cut it from there. I promise. No problem. Anyways. All right. So we hope we helped educate you a little bit on Disney Genie, Disney Genie Plus, if you're confused still, you're like the rest of us. So, but yeah, actually, I'm going to give credit to Disney Food Blog. Go check the DFB on YouTube. AG's got a really good video on there. And, you know, give credit to where credit's due. It's well done and it's informational. But any one of these beautiful, intelligent women can help you as well. Do not come to me. I promise you, it will not be the success you wish it to be. Contact Stacy, Andrea, Amy, or Tamara. Anyways, for joining us today, we appreciate that, everybody. If you could go to your podcast catcher or wherever you're listening and find the review, leave us a review. We would certainly appreciate that. Anyways, for the team, Stacy, Andrea, Amy, and for myself, I'd like to thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
And Tamara.
I said Tamara, didn't I? Did I skip Tamara?
Tamara.
Talk about we're doing this over. I went around the horn, too, for Stacy, Andrea, Amy, and Tamara. Have a good day, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Nobody puts baby in the corner. Yes, you really did forget me.
Did I really leave you out? Because I went around the corner just to make sure I hit them all.
I'm here.
Oh, never mind. Tamara, whatever.
Tamara left. She went home.
Whatever.
I mean, I know I haven't been on the show in a while, but good Lord.
I won't even give you an introduction. Some lady.